everybody. Welcome to the I Am Real Estate Show. We hope you're having a great Saturday. You're here with Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Don Geisler from Indy Realty. Don is our designated broker and owner of Indy Realty, the brokerage locally in Tucson. I thought that this week we would continue to talk about the updates of the NAR settlement and how it's affecting real estate. So, Don, anything new from last week?
Since last week, I don't think there's anything earth-shatteringly new.
Right.
You know, so we've been really focused on, you know, what the future appears to be bringing is that there's certainly going to be a requirement that in order to view any listings that are listed in an MLS, that potential buyer has to have a representation agreement in place with an agent, you know. So there's been a lot of discussion about the terms, what's going to go into representation agreement. And, you know, I think it's really valid for us to point out that we as a company have been using buyer broker agreements, buyer representation agreements, you know, since the beginning of the company. We've always thought that it was a critically important non-negotiable practice. The buyer broker agreement maps out, you know, the term of the agreement,
right,
maps out what our fiduciary duties are, what the responsibilities of a buyer are, and actually describes to them with all kinds of transparency very clearly how we are compensated, which is super important. Everybody's entitled to know, to work for a living, and the people that are involved in transaction are entitled to know who's being compensated and how they're being compensated.
Right.
So in that respect, not an enormous change for us procedurally.
I saw that the date, I saw August 17th, the date is when that's going to be implemented. Is that still holding true to this point?
Yes, as far as I know that our local association and MLS has targeted mid-August as the day where the changes are going to happen, and there will no longer be a co-op fee field in the MLS, and that's when the changes are going to happen. And so I also have read and had discussions with the local MLS, and even should things be put on hold, slow down, be hiccups, glitches, you know, whatever, as the settlement, which is way over all of our heads,
right,
gets resolved, they're still going to implement on those dates.
So we can, go ahead, Sandra.
I was going to say, you know, what do you anticipate as far as changes to the type of documents that we're using? So we've talked a little bit, I know privately, about the employment agreement. Do you think that companies are going to have their own employment agreements and that consumers are going to have to really be able to read through those and understand the terms to know whether or not they are signing an agreement that may have a short lifespan or one that may actually have a very long lifespan?
Yeah, I mean, I'll answer the first part of that question, and then we can get to terms. That at any given point, any brokerage is entitled to draft its own employment documents. Like, right, nobody has to use the AAR version and stuff. We at Indy Realty, we use the AA versions of the documents because they're just frankly very well vetted. The AAR attorneys are involved. So they're built in case law, you know, in a lot of cases that the terms in them come from actual case law.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the AAR documents are very thorough, very clear, very transparent, very well put together, and always, always very relevant to what we do. I mean, they are built based on the history of how we do real estate, okay, and things that come up with doing real estate in Arizona. So, but that being said, we could at any time, you know, not use AAR documents and draft employment agreements that we want. And so, yeah, I would think that as new models start to pop up and as people start to approach things a little differently and make changes to their processes and their business models, by all means, you know, anybody that's becoming involved in real estate transaction should read everything very extremely thoroughly.
So I guess my question is AAR thinking of coming up with a document then?
AAR is already working in changes to all the relevant documents. So something that's really cool to hear is the work groups and the focus groups and the committees are already working on revisions to the document. So revisions to the existing buyer broker agreement that will make it more compliant in terms with the NAR settlement and the rules that come with the settlement.
Right.
Those are already in the works, in place. They're already out in the loop for feedback and review. There are other documents that are brand new, but, you know, they're just being created right now to deal with the fact if a particular listing is not operating cooperative compensation. You know, there's forms being developed to address that issue. So yeah, I mean, it's a good time to be a member of AAR, just because we know in light of massive changes, right, and lots of publicity and lots of stuff going on like that, that real highly qualified professional people are addressing what the changes are going to look like already and working on the documents already.
What I'm laughing because I remember hearing stories about the purchase agreement. It used to be one page. Now it's 11 pages. Now the buyer broker used to be one page. Now it's going to be, you know, every document is now going to be extended. Every time we have one of these big kind of confrontations or settlements, documents get longer and longer and longer. So we're sorry for all our clients and stuff out there. It's just more documents you're going to have to read and understand. And that's why you have us here to help you go through those documents.
I have been saying for years, like, every single line in this contract is because somebody somewhere got sued for this particular thing. Yeah. You know? And so, yeah, when we went from one page to 10, 11 pages, stuff like that, well, now you know why.
It's amazing. I mean, and just like any less, we're going to look more and more. So I will again apologize to our clients as we move forward, but there are going to be more documents you're going to have to sign.
You know, when I look at all of the different models that they're saying could come out, so you could have an agent that you're hiring hourly, mm-hmm, or per showing. And I haven't really talked to any consumers to say, how would you feel about that?
Right, absolutely.
But a lot of people like to look at a lot of houses. And, you know, it could. I have shown one house and had the client say, is it wrong to want to buy the first house I've seen? And my answer was, if you like this house, I can promise you I can't find this house again. Because it was just really unique. You know, when you're in a neighborhood where everybody has the same floor plan and the only thing that's different is maybe the elevation package that they got from the builder, that's one thing. But when you're in a house and you're like, I have never seen a house quite like this before, you go, no, you just need to buy this house if this is your house.
First house,
third house, doesn't matter. You need to buy the house if this is your house.
I've been in the industry for so long. And the last house that I bought, I walked in and I said, I love this house and I'm buying this house. And I forced myself to go look at the rest of them on the list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just that day. There was only like five or six more. And I'm just like, yeah, I bought that house that day, you know. So I don't know. Some people would feel like they haven't thoroughly vetted or done their due diligence if they just bought the first house they saw. But I mean, if you see it and you fall in love with it and you see yourself being there, and that's home, yeah, buy it. But yeah, we certainly might be seeing new models, everything from flat fee to hourly, you know, for buyer representation. And there's going to be lots of opportunity and lots arise from change. And I think from the beginning of us starting to talk about this, we've always said change just happens. So let's see what kind of doors close and what kind of doors open. And it's just going to be pretty exciting, actually.
You've always said change is inevitable. It is inevitable. It's how you adapt to change and how you make things better and how you move forward with change. You don't let it hold you still.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, change is part of life. Every day you get up, something's going to change. So
we're heading to the break. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Don Geisler, who is our designated broker and owner of Indy Realty. We'll be back on to the second segment talking to more about real estate issues. Thanks, everybody, for staying with us. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray, Sandra, and Don, all from Indy Realty.
So before we went to break, we're talking a little bit about some of the new models that might come out as far as how buyers work with their buyer agents, whether it's an hourly rate or a rate per showing, or whether it's as traditional as what it's always been, just may look differently on how that information is communicated. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, let's say someone's out and they are just, you know, see that open house sign and they follow it to an open house.
Right.
Yeah. Not represented, right?
Right. They're unrepresented. They don't have an agent. They're unrepresented.
So I think just like any new rule, any new policy, any new law, like when the rubber hits the road, mm-hmm, like the exceptions, the practical application of it jump out at you immediately,
right,
like,
yeah,
right out of the gate, right? So the rule for MLS is any houses listed on the MLS, you absolutely have to have a written agreement in place with an agent prior to seeing this house. Well, then here we go. First exception. There's an open house. Open house is clearly listed on the MLS. We have a whole bunch of signs out to everybody in the public saying, come on in and see me, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's no agreement in place. So I would say, first off, that has already been discussed and talked about, and that is an exception, you know, that when you're inviting somebody in to see it, that is not a situation where you have to get them to sign a document immediately on the spot. So believe that's what's going to end up holding. But then we do start having a conversation between, is this person a client? Is this person a customer? And there, you know, for people who may not know, there's a legal difference between a customer and a client. Mm-hmm. To a client, you owe fiduciary duties. You actually still owe duties to a customer also. And that's, you know, honesty, fair dealing. Fair,
yep.
So that's exception number one right out of the gate. to our blanket, ironclad, unassailable rule. That's exception number one right out of the gate.
I was just thinking, as we're talking about that, you know how you're doing an open house and the client and the person comes in and say, hey, you know, but I also have a couple of houses that are similar to this. So right then and there, you can't even go show them. You know what? You have to go and sign this broker agreement before we go to the next place.
I think like that would be a scenario where you're working with somebody, you're starting to develop some rapport with them, and they say, I like this house, but we're looking for one with a pool, for example. And we say, oh, well, I know about four with pools. Would you like to see it? When I'm done with my open house, we can go see it. Now we're starting to walk into, we are scheduling a tour of seeing MLS listed houses. They're not open houses. And then we're going into, I'll meet you at 4:30 when I'm done with my open house. By the way, I'll have a document for you to sign, at that time. And like we were talking about, that document is going to probably look a little different than it has. There'll be lots of different versions of it, lots of different facets to what'll go into it. But in that case, then you're starting to move into that scenario where we're going into these locked up, not open at the time, houses that I'm going to give you access to, and then that would require we're going to sign something.
So you can create an agency relationship without that document.
Yeah, and so what's interesting is historically, and this is why I already mentioned that we at Indy Realty have always used buyer broker agreements, but there are plenty of agents and agencies who haven't. And the fact of the matter is that whether or not you have clearly defined how you're compensated and what's going on, you become an agent when you start giving people advice, when you start answering questions. This is called implied agency, you know? So you can absolutely create an agency relationship unintentionally even. You know, somebody walks in, they start asking questions, you start giving answers, you know, depending on the scope of these questions and stuff. It does not require a written agreement to establish agency from a legal perspective, you know, so that person, you know, should some kind of dispute come up, a legal dispute come up, you know, and they would claim, you don't even have a signed document with these people, and they claim a breach of fiduciary. And then historically, an agent would be like, what do you mean breach of fiduciary? I was not your agent. We never signed anything. Well, you were. This is called implied agency, and you were operating as an agent. So that's actually one of the reasons, one of the many things that the new focus on this and the requirement to get these documents in place, that's one of the things that they're for, to avoid this undisclosed agency situation so that you can operate, you know, within your capacity and not kind of not have that happen. Have everybody understand, once we move into this phase, this circle, you know, of discussion of our relationship, I'm your agent.
Mm-hmm. So. I was reading an email that came out today from NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and it said that whether you are touring a home in person or you are doing a virtual tour, that document is required before you begin the tour.
I mean, it's interesting. So, because again,
you guys should show his face.
It's not that I agree or disagree.
Right.
It's just that, you know, after 24 years working boots on the ground in the field, like it's easy for me to pick out this one's an issue, this one's not an issue. I mean, if that's the rule, then we're going to follow that rule.
Exactly.
You know, but what that means is that there's not an end around. So I'm interpreting, Sandra, what you're saying is, if it's not necessarily somebody online viewing a virtual tour.
Right.
It's you are at a property FaceTiming.
Right.
You know, because somebody's not available and you were showing them that house. Then I would say absolutely, you know, that it, that requires that agreement. And, you know, it's going to be critically important that as an agent population that we all understand that, that everybody's wildly consistent, massively consistent and transparent and operating within the rules.
So let me throw just a little wrench, I guess is what it is, in the wheel here. If someone is not a member of the National Association of Realtors, they choose not to join our multiple listing service, they don't have to apply by our code of ethics or don't have to go by our code of ethics. How how confusing is that to a consumer?
I think it's massively confusing to a consumer. I think that historically, again, this is one of those things where it's always been the case. It's just coming to light now.
Right.
That as a licensee able to sell real estate in Arizona, you're not required to be a realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. But the thing is that realtors are bound by the code of ethics, right?
Right.
So, yes, very much so. If people, if licensees choose to not be members
right.
of the association, then one of the things that we lose are they are not accountable to the code of ethics. And I can tell you, you know, if somebody says, we think you are in violation of the code of ethics with this behavior, that carries a heck of a lot of weight, more right. more than people think. So there's two things that keep real estate agents honest and in line, right? And other than just natural integrity, we would hope for.
Right.
You know, but those two organizations are the Arizona Department of Real Estate and then the National Association and the local associations enforce the code of ethics. And it's super strict and it's built to protect the public. And it's built to monitor and have a standard of care for the way agents deal with the public and the way agents deal with each other.
I guess my, and one of my concerns, and I'll make it brief because we're going to break, but when I meet a client, I always tell them, it's kind of like dating. I don't want to ask them to marry me up front, right? We want to get to know each other a little bit and make sure we like each other. So the terms on those agreements, in my opinion, are going to be huge, especially for someone who isn't aware of the pitfalls and knowing that they may be entering into a long-term relationship with someone they just met. So with some caution, I think moving forward.
Know what you're signing.
Thanks for staying with us. We'll talk to you in the next segment. Hi, guys. We're back. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Don Geister, all members of Indy Realty. Before we move forward, I want to say a couple of things. And the settlement is not a scary thing. Just a matter of fact that transparency is always the goal. We are still your resources for things that are related to real estate. All the settlement did was just show how we're compensated and how that fact that has to explain up front. That's the main thing. But everything else after that, the transactions are all still the same. Same we do business. All the things we have to do are still the same. We're still the awesomest agents out there, we think. So those are the kind of things you have to think about. We just want to make sure that you understand that this NAR settlement just helps you know how we get compensated. Everything else pretty much the same.
I always say we have to also be transparent in that in some cases, buyers may be having to come up with additional funds to compensate their agent. That is also the reality that we don't know what direction this is going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So buy now and let everybody else figure it out in August.
Buy right now before August. I mean, you know, that's a really good statement, Sandra. You know, there are going to be circumstances where it pulls more money out of buyers' pockets. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're in the market, do it now before we even have to deal with it. But, you know, one of the things, Raymond, when you said that it's not scary, I want to like shout out. I've been talking about how hard AAR is already working, but there has been so much mobilization already to deal with the changes that are coming up. And we're talking about HUD and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, saying VA. This is going to change. VA already making changes so that, you know, commissions can show up on the buyer side of a settlement. That was something that had to be addressed immediately. And so we've got these giant organizations, government organizations, trade associations, all these different organizations that are really like sprung into action and have really jumped on very, very relevant issues to get solutions in place right away. And I won't go too deeply into, you know, especially the mortgage side. And maybe when we talk to John next time, we bring the mortgage side up again.
Yeah.
But there were some very critical issues as far as mortgages that went as far as compensation goes that have already been addressed by these agencies and these organizations. And it's pretty fantastic. So people are in good hands. There's going to be a change and people are going to be a little nervous, but everybody's in really good hands.
People are still going to need to buy houses. People are still going to need to sell houses.
Yes.
And the market will continue on.
Home ownership is still the American dream and it's worth it. It is worth it.
Right now, we like to really celebrate, you know, the fact that this month is National Home Ownership Month.
Yeah, so there's no better time.
Get it done in June. And honestly, home ownership, we've talked about it before, is one of the best ways to build wealth for your average family or person.
And for young kids. I mean, I've been sitting there trying to tell my daughter and tell these people coming out of college that it is a great way to start building wealth. Instead of paying for someone else to rent some place out, I think most of the time they're afraid of all the other things that they heard about. My thing is, give an agent a call. All the things you're afraid of, let us talk to you, let us listen to us, and let us listen to you, learn what your concerns are, and let us help you through to understand that ownership is a good thing.
I can honestly, this is an honest statement from me, that owning your home is one of the most comforting peace of mind. Yes, it builds wealth, all of that, but it contributes to your peace of mind in ways that you can't even understand until you're there. And this is like historically from somebody like, I'm pretty old, my 50s here. And, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life and I've owned houses and then rented and I've had relationships that ended and houses that went away and then bought new houses, you know, all these different things. And every single time something happened and I bought another house, it was such a load off my mind to just say, this is my home. I can do with it what I want. No matter what happens in my life, you know, this is where I'm at. And it just means so much. It changes your outlook in so many ways. So celebrate National Home Ownership Month. I think it's important.
A lot of people will call us, you know, friends especially will call and say, I'm thinking about remodeling the bathroom or whatever it is they're looking at. And they'll say, what do you think? Should I do it this way or should I do it that way for for the value of the home? And my answer is always, you know, one, do what you love, but also look at how long you're going to live in the house. Yeah. And even when I've been in a 1979 built home since 2004, and I was doing a bathroom remodel, and as we were, I say we, I didn't do any of it. the contractor was getting ready to redo the shower. Well, there was a Roman tub there. He's like, what do you want me to do with the Roman tub? So what did I do? I asked a friend who's also an agent and said, I have a Roman tub. I love Roman tubs. And she's like, if you're going to die in that house, keep the Roman tub. let your kids deal with the problem that you're creating. But if one day you're going to sell, get rid of that Roman tub. And it broke my heart just a little bit.
I have lived in a house with a Roman tub. It's not fun.
But they are really fun to look at. So,
it's beautiful. It's unique. It's fun to look at.
Let people understand what's the uniqueness about the Roman tub. I think it's you have to step in, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I already mentioned a few minutes ago that I'm getting kind of old. And that's just one of those things that, like, for me, I'm like, it's off the list. I'm not to the point yet where if a house has stairs, I'm like, no. But yeah, the Roman tub where your feet are slippery and you're unsteady as it is and it's early and you're just rolling out of bed. And like, I don't need to be rolling, diving headfirst into the tub.
I think part of it is just the allure of the tile that they used. You know, when they did it, it's beautiful tile and it's unique and totally impractical for most of us, but just a fun idea. So
yeah, I would say like what you were talking about where, Yeah, remodel your home to how you want it. If you get overly fixated on, is this going to increase the value X dollars, yeah, then it becomes really problematic. So yes. I would say, yeah, for whatever you want to do, do it and enjoy it. Now, if you pour $165,000 into a bathroom, you're not going to get that back dollar for dollar, right. I can tell you. So, right. I mean, you might be smart about what you do, but do what you love and do what makes you happy.
And I always finish that conversation with, here's what I don't want you to do. Don't wait until you're selling your house and do those things that you wanted to do for somebody else.
For someone else.
Do it for yourself and enjoy it.
That's
and
right.
Then you can sell it to them.
I love that thought process.
Yeah.
Oh, you're waiting for me to talk. I was just watching everybody talk. That's how I roll. Hey, we're going to the break. We want to thank you for spending this afternoon with us. You're listening to the Johnson Smith team at Indy Realty. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show, where the I Am stands for Integrity Matters. We're here on, you listen to our show. We're here on 1030 AM KBOI The Voice. And we'll talk to you on our last segment. We'll talk a little bit about maybe backup offers and price reductions. Cool things. All right, we're back for the last segment with Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Don Geisler. We're all members of the Indy Realty team. Sorry, of Indy Realty, where Don Geisler is our designated broker. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, or if you have any questions concerning real estate, please contact the Johnson Smith team. We can be reached at 520-850-1725 is my beautiful wife, Sandra. 520-904-7711 is Knucklehead Raymond. And 520-373-6864 is Danielle Johnson. With that being said, we'll talk about, before we go, I'm sorry, you got to hear what Don said on over the break.
Okay, so for the edification of of the Roman tub lovers out there that thinks I'm a jerk now because I was ripping it, here's what I didn't like about it, okay?
And let's be honest, the one that you had, because I saw the house before you moved in, mm-hmm. was almost deadly. I mean, you had to go way down into in a narrow space, way down into the tub.
In the Roman tub, which is nice and deep, and that's fantastic. But the control, the mixer valve, the knob, is down in the tub, right? So you have two options. If you want to stay out of the water until it gets warm, which is a requirement for me. You're doing all these acrobatics like Spider-Man, leaning way down, hanging on to the bar and stuff, turning on the water. And so that's where I think it's dangerous, right? Because I'm doing all these acrobatics trying to turn the water on and not let one little drop of it hit my body. Or you can just get in there, stand there, turn on the water, and let the ice cold water just hit you.
Oh, man.
And I can't do it. And my son does it. He's 24 now. And I don't know how he does it. He would just jump in the shower, turn on the water. I'm like, what is going on with you? It's just weird.
That cold water is supposed to be healthy.
I couldn't let Don leave without talking about that story, but it made me laugh over the break.
So, Don, I'm basically a really big wimp is what, kind of what it all comes down to.
Until you start talking about real estate, in which case he gets his cape out.
Yeah.
And he becomes super hero Don.
Here we go. How's the market, Donna?
How's the market? Our favorite question. So, you know, we as a company are busy. So our MLS, our market completed May, down 7.7% in units. And so very superficially, you know, we say that the inflated interest rates and the Fed holding rates up, you know, it clearly has had an impact, mm-hmm. you know, on what's going on out there. So houses are on the market a little bit longer. But still very healthy number. It was over 1,500 closings in the Tucson market in the MLS. And so it's real healthy. It's not near the numbers of like 2020 or something like that where things were super heated. But there's still a lot of activity going on. But mm-hmm. but that being said, we are seeing houses sit on the market a little longer.
Okay.
The time on market is longer,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, in case you don't know, like 3 days on the market is not normal. Like when
it still happens, though.
It does. But when I got in this business, it was, you know, 4 months on the market, 90 days, 120 days. That was your expectation, right? And so now expectations are very, very different. Just like expectations with buyers, you know, I bought my first house at 8.25. I never even thought about it, you know, but we've gotten so conditioned to we want 3% mortgages now mm-hmm. that 6 sounds crazy. But the combination of prices being up and interest rates being up have slowed down velocity a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we just really want to express, I had this really great stat that we looked at this week, and the MLS provides amazing statistics. And one of the things was, so out of the little over 3,000, some number over 3,000 listings in the MLS, 44% of the active listings have had price reductions mm-hmm. on them. And out of the 1,500 plus that closed in May, over 500, I think the number was 545, had experienced price reductions, prior to getting sold.
Right.
So we're hanging around this number of between 40 and 50%, of the listings out there are having to have price reductions. Okay. So, and another interesting facet of it is, over time, price reductions, there's an average of how much people typically reduce prices.
Right.
And it's, between 6-8%, between 5-8%, something like that. And I was looking at a graph, and people are indeed reducing prices, but they're in smaller chunks
right.
than they used to be. And so what that tells me is that sellers are still very much hanging on to their image of what they can get for their house. And they were still
and
very
close.
Getting
it. They're getting close to what they're asking.
Yeah. It's not over 100% anymore. There was a time where we were over 100% of asking price across the MLS.
Yeah.
It's down where it's supposed to be. But I can't say enough, it's always been pricing. You have to price your house accordingly,
yep.
With the comps. And now more than ever, with prices being up and interest rates being up, it means that affordability is down. And so more than ever, it's important to be priced in a way that will compel buyers to want to buy your home.
And I think to add to that, you want to be in good condition mm-hmm. and have a house that's turnkey so that buyers aren't, they can't put improvements on a credit card and feel good about it right now because
right.
the rates are so high.
And the mindset of a buyer, who's, let's say you're buying a house for $475,000
right.
that 6 years ago was $250,000. And you're like, okay, that's the market. I understand that. But now that house has 20 years of deferred maintenance. The roof needs to be replaced, and sellers have to be prepared that, buyers are paying top dollar, but then they have a condition right. in their mind. They have a minimum standard of a condition of a house in their mind. So, if you think that you're still going to get absolute top dollar, but just flat out say, no, I'm not going to fix the roof and I'm not going to fix the AC
yes.
and I'm not going to fix the plumbing. That deal's not going to go through.
No.
Because buyers are like, okay, we're paying top dollars. And it's fair for buyers to have expectations too of, I'm paying top dollar already. So yeah, what Sandra said, now I can't go out and put $30,000 on a credit card at 20% if you're super lucky, right?
Or
30%. In addition to paying, a mortgage of $3,000 a month or whatever, whatever's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
So being realistic and having that price right and having your expectations in line are super critical. And, that's what we're here to help with. Our
right.
fiduciary duty is to explain what's going on and give you our best advice that we can.
And on that note, I'm going to shift here because I really want to talk about a couple of events that we have at Indy Realty.
Okay.
Right now, we are collecting backpacks.
Yes.
How's that going?
That is going incredible. And our, the people in our Indy family are just unbelievable. And the people that support the people in the Indy family are just unbelievable.
Amazing.
So we decided to take the association and YPN, stands for Young Professionals Network. They're doing a backpack drive. And we decided to take that and absolutely run with it. And we have right around 150 backpacks already. So it's going wonderfully,
wow.
But you can bring a new unused backpack to our office at 7255 East Tancredi Road, and we will get it to where it's going. It is to serve the kiddos in need. And then those backpacks are then going to be stuffed you know, at the end of it when we deliver them with the school supplies. So it's wonderful. And I look at these backpacks and my heart just melts, man. It's just amazing. I think about the kiddos and the things that they have to deal with. And you know, as a kiddo, if you're underprivileged and everybody else has something and you don't, you know, it just does my heart so much good to imagine the kiddos carrying these things around. It's fantastic. So appreciative.
And we as a team have offered to match up to 24 backpacks. We're at about 14 now, mm-hmm. I think. Shout out to Carlos and Kira from Reach for the Stars that were our Ooh. First donation. And then Splash 3 Foundation, who recently did a golf tournament. And they themselves collected 70 backpacks from their golfers, have now purchased backpacks to donate to our pack back drive. So we matched theirs as well, but we still have some left on the match. So if you mention the Johnson Smith team when you drop off your backpack, we will match that backpack until we max out on our matching donations. So yeah, absolutely. We love it.
Sugar Skulls.
And the Sugar Skulls, we can't talk enough about the Sugar Skulls. Love you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, so we'll make it quick here. Saturday, July 13th, we are having Indie Realty Night at the Tucson Sugar Skulls. In case you don't know, the Tucson Sugar Skulls are Tucson's professional indoor football team.
Yes.
It is a blast. By the end of the week, if you check out our Indie Realty Facebook page, you will see the intro. When the lights go down, they play a video that is just awesome. And we're going to have that on our Facebook page for you guys to check out. But so we have secured special group rates to take people to that event. So if you want to check out the Sugar Skulls, it's indoors. It's at the TCC. It's comfortable. It's air conditioned. There's food. There's entertainment. It's exciting. Get with us. You can always reach me, 520-869-2376, and we'll tell you how to participate.
And be prepared to have a really good time.
So fun.
Yes.
We love it. We're all sitting at this table, season ticket holders, and we love the Sugar Skulls. With that said, the Johnson Smith team is your resource for all things real estate. Give us a call at 520-850-1725 or 520-904-7711. If you're an agent and you're looking for a great place to go, call Don.
520-869-2376.
He would love to talk to you about the opportunities at Indy Realty. We also want to thank Rego Pest Prevention, Pioneer Title Agency, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, and Pillar to Post Home Inspections. And when you use one of our sponsors, please let them know that you heard about them on the I Am Real Estate Show.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will see you again. Well, you won't see us. You'll hear us again next week.